You're listening to Amar V'Chazara with Daniel Eisberg, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Gimel, actually Dalid Amud Aleph. I just want to quickly review the Simanim for Daf Beis and Daf Gimel. So Daf Beis, remember, we're just trying to do one Zichru point this time. So Daf Beis, Bizbayas, a house. And on Daf Beis, we learned about the four Rosh Hashanahs. So you have a man sitting in his house with four Shana Tova cards from four different months. So it's very easy. Just remember, a man in his bias, a man in his house, and four different Shana Tova cards because they're four different Rosh Hashanahs. And Daf Gimel is a gamal, it's a camel. And the thing that we're going to remember is that the Gemara says that the new year for non-Jewish kings is Tishrei, not like Nisan for Jewish kings. Rav Chisda says this, that right, even though Jewish kings start in Nisan, we count the non-Jewish kings from Tishrei. So imagine a non-Jewish king, however you want to envision a non-Jewish king, make sure, you know, I don't know if you want to put a non-Jewish symbol on him, but whatever it is in your head, a non-Jewish king riding on a camel holding a calendar open to Tishrei. It's very easy. Let's get to Dalet. So for Daf Dalet, we're going to start on, so Daf Dalet, just a heads up for the Simon, is going to be Dalet Delet, a door. That is going to be the Simon. Let us take a look at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. And as we mentioned, there's a discussion about, we were challenging the assumption, the notion that a non-Jewish king is counted from Tishrei, because he said, hold on, look, we have this non-Jewish king, Artachshasta Daryovish, who is counted from Nisan. We explained that, this is actually Koresh also, that Daryovish, who is the Artachshasta, is also known as Koresh, even though there are other personalities that were Koresh, and he was a Kusher. And therefore, we counted him from Nisan. Now, we said still there's an inconsistency because it looks like sometimes we count him from Nisan. If Koresh and Daryovish and Artachshasta are the same person, so it looks like sometimes we count from Nisan, sometimes we count from Tishrei. The Gemara explained, Rabbi Yitzchak says that the last line of Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yitzchak, lo kasha, kan kodem shechmitz, kan la'achar shechmitz. No. Because at some point, hechmitz, he soured. So he started off as a kusher, and then at some point later on, he soured, and so when it counts him from when he was still at tzaddik and he's still kosher, so that's when we count him from Nisan, and then we change the system once he sours. So now we get to the last line of Gimel Amud Beis. Maskif Rav Kahano mi hechmitz. Rav Kahan says, hold on, did he really sour? V'hoksiv, but the pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Ezra. So he says that Dayavish was sending them. He said, whatever you guys need, if you need Torin and Dichrin, whether you need doves or rams, or Torin are not doves, Torin are bulls, like a shore, or rams, or whatever you need for the Karbonos for Hashem, for the Shmaya, the God of the heavens, or wheat, salt, wine, oil, whatever you need, I will give it to you, yom yom, you're going to get it, no problem. So this is at the time when Ezra goes up, and we see he's still in sour, because he's being very generous. So what do we do with this? So Amar lo Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Rabbi mitunach, from your burden, from your package itself, meaning from that very pasuk that you're quoting, we do see that he soured. Why? Because it continues, di lahon mehakrevin nichochin le'ala shemaya umatzlin l'chaye malko v'nohi. So it says, so he, and the Daryavish specifies, he says, do this so that they may, so that they can bring these nichochin, these pleasing korbanos to Hashem, and umitzalayin l'chayim malka divnohi, daven for the king, for the lives of the king and his children. Aha, so we see he's not l'shem shemayim. Therefore, if he's not l'shem shemayim, see, he obviously soured. So the Gemara says, uman david hachi lav ma'al yusahi, really? If somebody doesn't do this, if somebody does something not l'shem shemayim, that's not like a wonderful, wonderfully great thing that we're saying he's sour. I'll tell you what we learned in the Braisa. Omer, sell a zula tzedakah b'shvil sheyichyu b'ni, b'shvil she'ezke b'alachai olam haba. Hari's at Tzadik Gamor. We have a teaching that if somebody says, I'm giving this coin to tzedakah as a schus, so that my son shall live, recover from some sort of illness, or that I should be zocha to Olam Haba, we call him a Tzadik Gamor. We don't say, oh, it's not L'shem Shemayim, and therefore you're not a Tzadik Gamor. No, it's perfect. So what's the problem with Dariyavish doing this? Lo kasha kan b'Yisrael kan b'Ovdei Kochavim. No, there's a difference. By a Jew, if a Jew does this system, so he's called Tzadik Gamor. But if a guy does this, like Dariyavish, so then it's not considered Malyusa, it's considered him souring. Why is that? Rashi explains over here that a Jew, even if he doesn't get his wish in the end, he doesn't regret it, he doesn't have a taina, right? If he says, I'm giving this tzedakah, it should be a schus that someone should have a refuah shleima, and unfortunately that person doesn't have a refuah shleima, so we don't say, oh, I regret giving the tzedakah, I shouldn't have done it, I take it back, and therefore it's still considered tzadik gamar, but a guy, or a guy's mentality, is not like that to complain, and therefore Dariyavish was not doing this in the Jewish way, he's doing it in the Gaish way, and that's considered having soured, and therefore we start count even by this point when he sends Ezra with this message, he has already soured, and we count from Tishrei. So that is one pshat. We're going to see several more pshatim of how he might have soured. The ibayisema. Oh, and by the way, that's going to be the zikr point that I would like to keep, which is that if you give tzedakah in the schos that somebody should live, or you should get olam haba, it's still your soul tzadik gamor. The simon is going to be a door, we said, Adela. So imagine a door to enter the shul has a huge slot for giving tzedakah. So you have a door to a shul with a big slot in it that says it should be a schos for you and your family. So there's a sign, right by the slot in the door to give tzedakah, it should be a schus for you and your family. So we have, again, the bias, a man sitting in his house with four Shana Tova cards, reminding us about the four Rosh Hashanahs, and we have Gimel, a non-Jewish king riding on a Gamal, riding on a Gimel, a camel with a calendar open to Tishrei, and we have a Dalet, going to a shul with a big slot for tzedakah with a sign that says it should be a schus for you and your family. Okay. Beis Gimel Dalet. Let's see another pshat. And if you want, you can also say the following. How do we know he soured? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says over here, and this is in a describing, right, so I'll reverse. Nidbach in the Evan glal tlas of a nidbach di ochadas, v'nifkisam in beis malka tis yehiv. That Dayavish instructs them to build a base medrash. So there should be three rows of marble, and then achadas or the achadas one of them is going to be of new wood, and everything's going to be provided by the base malchus, the palace. So why did he do the solomalei de avid halchi? Why did he do it like this? Why did they do three rows of marble and one of wood? Savar imar de biyudai ikle benura. So he says, you know what? If the Jewish people rebel against me, so I'm going to set the base mikdash on fire. So he left over a little bit that would be wood to make it easier just to fight back in case the Jewish people rebel. So he wasn't really so great at this point. Atu Shlomo lo avid halchi. Is it true that Shlomo didn't do this? But the pasuk says, Shlosha turei gazes v'tura karasos arazim. That Shlomo also did three rows of marble and one row of wood. So what's the... Dariyavish is not doing anything wrong in the construction of the second base of Megiddo. She's doing it the same way as Shlomo did it. Now, there's a few differences. Shlomo avid milmal v'yu avid milamata. Shlomo did the wood at the top. But he did it. But Dayavish did it lower, so that's where he can get into burn. Shlomo shake bevinyana, and Shlomo also did something else. He had it like sunken in. I don't know exactly what it means that it was sunken in, but I guess that. And ihu lo shake bevinyana, and he didn't have it sunken into the binyan, so I guess it's maybe more exposed and easier to set on fire. Shlomo sadaya besida, ihu lo sadaya besida. And also Shlomo put lime over it, which would make it, I guess, fire resistant, and Dayavish did not. So there are three differences, and therefore it's an indication that he soured. Rav Yosef yisema Rav Yitzchak amar. So there's Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzchak said this other possibility. Minalon de achmitz mehacha. How do we know that he soured from here? Because the pasuk says vayomer li hamelech vashaga yosheves etzlo. And the king said to me, and his shagel was sitting next to him. So my shagel, what is the shagel? right? Or the Shegal. What is that? So Amarababar, which normally, you know, we would think it means like a consort. Amarababar lema mishmeda rav kalbasa. It is a dog. It's a female dog. So what's problematic about this is Rashi explains that it means that his consort, his wife, was actually like a female dog, meaning he was involved in bestiality, which is, Rashi notes, forbidden to non-Jews as well. So he soured and was involved in something very disgusting. So the Gemara says, hold on. El me'at ahodik siv, you're telling me that the word shegal means a dog? El me'at ahodik siv v'al more shemaya hisramamta lemanaya di vese haisiv kodamach v'ad rav Rav Rivanach Shiglasach Luchenasach Chamra Shasain Bahon. Right, so this is a pasuk in Daniel referring to Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, that it says that you exalted yourself against Hashem, and you brought the kalim, and your nobles and your shiglasach, right? Your consorts were drinking wine, it says. So Vishegel Kalbasahi, Kalbasa Bas Mishtayach Amra, hold on. If the word Shagel means or Shegal means a dog, so that's strange, because the pasuk over here is not talking about dogs, it's talking about you're like the women that you're with, they drink wine, because dogs don't drink wine. So hello kasha de malfo lo vishasya. No, if you teach a dog to drink wine, it'll drink wine. So maybe Belshazzar actually, when it says shiglasach, it's referring to their dogs, and that they gave their dogs wine. Elamiato dixiv, binos malach, and be ikrosech, and it's a shegal, yiminacha bechesem ofir. So this is a pasuk in Tehillim, talking about the future glory that Klal Yisrael will have. And it says that the binos malachim, the daughter of kings, be ikrosech, they're going to honor you, and the shegal is going to be to your right in the golden, yiminacha bechesem ofir, in the special jewelry of Ophir. And this is so vi shegal kalbasahi, and if this shegal is a dog, my kum of asher lehunavi l'Israel. What kind of good news is this to Israel? Like, there's gonna be like there's gonna be dogs too. What's going on? Hachikam, this is what it means to say. Bishar shechaviva Torah l'Israel keshegal lov dekochavim zechisem lechesem ofir, that you're going to be zocha to that, because just as much as Bale Vodazara of Devodazara love dogs, I guess dogs are involved in different types of things, so they love dogs, possibly for their tumor or whatever it is, they love dogs. So too, if Torah is beloved to you, then you're going to be zocha to this. Okay, vibay same, and another pshat liolam. Shegal Malkasahi. No, really, the word Shegal is a queen. Meaning the word Shegal in general is a consort, it's a queen. The Rabba Bar Lema Gamra Gamirla. And Rabba Bar Lema had a Masora that Daryavish's Shegal was really a dog. The Mai Korila Shegal. Shahisa Chaviva Allah Kishegal. But why was it called a Shegal consort, a queen? Because he loved this dog as much as a queen. Inami Shoshima Mkham Shegal, or because it sat on like the queen's throne or something like that. And that's another shot. So basically, what we came out with just now, just to review this whole Shegal thing, is that what did he do wrong according to this opinion? According to this opinion, he was involved in bestiality with a dog. And that's a disgusting, wicked thing to do. Where do we get this from? Because the pasuk says a shegal. So either shegal in every context refers to dogs, and we can try to explain here and there how, even if it doesn't look like a dog, it means dog here and there as well. Or no, shegal doesn't mean dog. It means queen or consort or something like that. But in this context, there's a specific Masora that it was referring to a dog, but that's not what the word means in general. Okay. And we're going to do a final pshat. Iba yisema minala da achmitz. Mehacha. Because the pasuk says over here, this is a pasuk in not sure what's his name. It's in Ezra. So it says ad ksaf kikarin kakarin ma'av ad chidtin korin ma'av ad chamar batin ma'av ad batin mishach ma'av lach di la ksav gomer. So the pasuk says gives a specific amount of how much silver and how much wheat and how much wine and how much salt, oil and salt was given, and then it says. So it says, Meikara lo bekitusa, vahashtu bekitusa. So the first time that, over here we're giving specific measurements. So originally, when he first went, he sent a lot of, right, the pasuk that we quoted at the top of the Amud. So he said, as much as you need, and over here there's very specific amounts given. So it sounds like he soured, or now he's starting to get stingy. So Vidilma may kara lo have a kim le bekitusa. The girl says no. Maybe just before, because it was the first time giving, so he didn't know how much they needed. So there wasn't an established amount. But now that we've been there, he gives a specific amount. Elam chaverta kiddushanina may kara. So rather, it's like we answered earlier. So we gave just in summary, we gave a few different chapters of how we know he soured, either because he gave everything lo lishma is so that he and his sons would live, and he, because they're not Jewish, that's not considered tzaddik gamor, or because he left over part of the Beis Hamikdash to be in wood in case he would change his mind and want to burn it, or because because he was involved in bestiality, and this last shot because he got stingy. The Gemara seems to reject. Okay, let's move on. Vilaragalim. So back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah to Malachim and to Regalim, to the Shalosh Regalim. So Regalim, Be'echa B'Nisan Hu, Be'chamisha Aser B'Nisan Hu. Hold on. The first day, the new year for Shalosh Regalim is not on the 1st of Nisan. It's on the 15th of Nisan. That's when Pesach is. Gemara responds, "Yeah, you're right. Amar Rav Chisda Regel Shabo Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim. Right. It doesn't mean that the first of Nisan. It means the Yom Tov that comes out in Nisan, meaning Pesach, that is the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. So you would read our Mishnah a little bit differently. It's that Rosh Chodesh Nisan Rosh Hashanah LeMalachim, and the Regel Shabenisan, i.e. Pesach." Is Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim. Okay. Now, why do we need to know this? Like, why do you need which is the new? When does the new year for the Shalosh Regalim start? Who cares? Meaning you say, oh, it's next, because now we know the order has to be Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Why? What's wrong with saying Shavuos, Sukkos, and Pesach? What's wrong with saying Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos? Who cares? Right. What we're used to actually is, you know, we start off the school year. And we finish the summer and we start off, and the first of the Shalosh Regalim to come up is Sukkos, and then we have Pesach and Shavuos down the line. What's wrong with saying that? So nafkamina lenoder lemekamale val ta'acher. It's the nafkamina is for somebody who takes a neder and has an obligation to fulfill, and we have to establish when he violates what's called bal ta'acher. Bal ta'acher is an isser in the Torah. Mentioned in, I think, Parshas Re'e, that says that you are not allowed to delay in paying back a neder, and various other things are going to be included as well, as we will see in the Gemara. So, at which point do you violate Baal Ta'acher? When is it considered delaying, right? If you make a vow, do you have to pay back the next day? Do you have a month, a year? When is it? So the Gemara is going to say that we'll see a machlokas in a moment, but it's going to be based on the Shalosh Regalim, because the Shalosh Regalim are mentioned in the context of the Pasuk of Baal Ta'acher. So once Shalosh Regalim pass, that's when you violated Baal Ta'acher. But we'll clarify in a moment. The Rabbi Shimon he, and specifically the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because there's actually a machlokas. The Tanya, because we learned in a braisa, echad anoder v'echad amakdish v'echad amarich. Whether one takes a neder, Rashi elaborates over here that the neder we're talking about is someone who says my own value, as if I was sold on a slave market, as if I was being sold on a slave market, my value, I'm dedicating that to the Beis Hamikdash, or one who is makdish, who says, I'm giving this item to the Beis Hamikdash, or one who's Ma'arich, that there's specific things mentioned in Parshas Bichukos at the end of Sefer Vayikra about Arachin. There's certain amounts that you would say, like if it's my value, and it would be a certain amount of shekel that you're donating. So when do you have to pay back? Kevan sha'avro lov gimel regalim over b'bal ta'acher. The Tanakhama says, once three regalim passed by and you didn't pay up, you violate your vows, you didn't make good on your pledge, you violated b'bal ta'acher. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon argues with Tanakhama and he says, gimel regalim kisidran v'chaga matzos tchila. It's not just three regalim, it has to be three regalim in order, starting with Pesach. Aha. Now it's important to know what's the new year for regalim, because you have to know to start with Pesach. And just to elaborate this, v'chein hayu Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, and so too Shimon ben Yochai said. By the way, the Rabbi Shimon mentioning is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. This is another teaching. He said the following: regalim pamim gimel pamim dal pamim chamisha. Sometimes you don't violate Baal Ta'acher until after three regalim, sometimes after four, and sometimes after five. Ketzad, how do we see that? Neder lefnei Pesach, because if somebody took a neder just before Pesach, gimel. So then, if you took an eder just before Pesach, so if Pesach comes, and then Shavuos comes, and then Sukkos comes, three regalim pass by, you didn't bring it, you violated Baal Ta'acher. Let's say you made an eder during Sfira, so it's between Pesach and Shavuos. So what's going to happen? So Shavuos passes by, and Sukkos passes by, but Pesach passes by, so three regalim passed, but they're not in order. So now, the next Shavuos passes by, and then the next Sukkos passes by. So it's Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos in order, plus the Shavuos and Sukkos from the year before. So Chamisha, then you have five. Five regalim passed by, and then you violate Baal Ta'acher. According to the Tanakhama that we quoted, as soon as if this took place during Sfira, so Shavuos, Sukkos, as soon as you hit the third Pesach, the first Pesach, that's already the third regel. But according to Rav Shimon, you need three in order. And then finally, lifnei hachag, if you made the neder just before Sukkos, so arba, or anywhere between Shavuos and Sukkos, arba, so Sukkos passes by, Pesach passes by, Shavuos passes by, the second Sukkot passes by, and then so that was four regalim, but that's how you get Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos in order. Okay? And I think we will hold it here for now.